It's unbiblical thinking. The fact that God does most of the work should never be used by you and I as an excuse for failure to grow in our sanctification. Any and every failure in sanctification is fully our fault because we're not taking advantage of God's invitation to grow in and through Him. Now, through His gift of regeneration, through His Word, through His Holy Spirit, we are provided, you and I, with everything necessary to live a holy life. So God is never to blame for any of our failures. You know, our modern society, in fact, even modern Christianity, is kind of plagued with some faulty notions, I guess you might call them. If you've been around very long, you've perhaps seen some of these things, some of these faulty notions. Things like, you know, you've seen the bumper stickers, right? You've seen let go and let God, those kind of thoughts. And while I get that in a certain context they can be true, a lot of times that thinking is wrong. It's not let go and let God. It's hold on and let God. Hold on and be empowered by God. That is, God invites us to have a part in the work that He is doing. And so we have to be very careful whenever we consider these kind of bumper sticker and coffee mug slogans. They're not always exactly accurate, especially not in the context that many people mean them. So, once again, God and man cooperate in sanctification. God's work is primary, ours is secondary, but it is nonetheless critical. We do not have equal roles in sanctification, nor do we work in the same way, but you and I do and are expected to cooperate with God. And by the way, a passage that kind of beautifully demonstrates this sort of working together, this sort of synergistic relationship that you and I have with God in our sanctification is Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to work and to will to work His good pleasure." So you notice there the collaborative effort that's being described. The fact that Scripture constantly emphasizes the role that we play in sanctification, with all the moral commands all throughout the Bible, makes it clear that God calls us, you and I, to yield to His work, but not merely to yield to His work, but also to actively cooperate with Him in our sanctification. And if this were not the case, then much of the New Testament would have no practical meaning or application for us. So, let's very quickly go through three aspects of the synergism of sanctification this morning. First is God's role in our sanctification. What is God's role in our sanctification? Well, in Paul's prayer, he makes it evident that sanctification is primarily a work of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 through 24 says, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, He will surely do it." So you can see God's involvement there. But we begin to ask a question now. How about the three persons of God? Are all three persons involved? Well, let's take a look at that. Let's first take, as we look at God's involvement in our sanctification, let's look at the role of God the Father, shall we? Let's look at the role of God the Father. God the Father provides discipline for maturity. One of the roles of God the Father in our sanctification is providing us with discipline necessary for our growth and maturity. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, if you would turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, that's a fantastic passage there. I won't put it on the overhead, but you can turn there. Great place to mark. Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 5, says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when you are reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one whom he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children, not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So one of the roles of God the Father in our sanctification is discipline. Discipline. And discipline comes with difficulty. So when discipline comes with difficulty, don't despise it. It is God loving you and bringing you closer to sanctification. We also see that God enables us to want his will. Enables us to want his will. And God, the Father, also enables us to do his will. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. What a wonderful passage there. The author of Hebrews speaks of the role of both Father and Son in our sanctification. Hebrews chapter 13, I'll put that one up for you. Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So the Father works along with the Son, but what is particularly the role of the Son? What is the role of God the Son, specifically in our sanctification? Well, first of all, we could rightly say that Jesus has earned our sanctification for us. He's earned our sanctification for us. You say, what do you mean? Well, 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, and because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, and, catch it, sanctification and redemption. So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. So first of all, Jesus has earned for us our sanctification, so that through his own righteousness we may become sanctified as we become more like him. Secondly, Jesus provides us with an actual example for you and I to follow. Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't just tell us, hey, go do this. He actually lived it out, and he gives us an example to follow. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever says he abides in him, that's Christ, ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you what? An example, so that you might follow in his steps. And lastly, Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the founder, or your translations may say the author and perfecter of our faith. So we have an example. We have an example in Jesus. So we've seen the role of God the Son. We've seen the role of God the Father. How about the role of the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit? What is the role of the Holy Spirit in our sanctification? Well, the Holy Spirit works within us to change and to sanctify us. So the Holy Spirit works within us to change and to sanctify us. We see this in 1 Peter 1:2. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for the sprinkling of his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Peter speaks of this, 2 Thessalonians 2:12, Paul speaks of it, but we ought always to give thanks to you, to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through the sanctification by, here it comes, the Spirit and belief in the truth. So the Holy Spirit works within us to change us. Next, the Holy Spirit produces in us his very own fruit. That is, the Holy Spirit produces in us the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So these characteristics and traits that are part of greater and greater sanctification are given to us by the Holy Spirit. They are produced by the Holy Spirit. They are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if we grow in sanctification, we are said to be walking in the Spirit. And we are said also to be led by the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, but I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to one another, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, then you are not under law. Romans 8:14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So this means that you and I ought to be more and more responsive to the will, to the desires, and to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in our life, in our character. It changes us, it transforms us. And the Holy Spirit, of course, is the Spirit of holiness, and as such, he produces holiness within us. Last time we said, remember what we said holiness is? Holiness is happiness, and happiness is holiness. So we don't have to worry about whether God or not will do his part. That's the great thing about God's part in sanctification. We don't have to worry about him doing his part. He always does his part. Now, apart from surrendering to his work in our sanctification, we must also actively work toward it ourselves. So we have two parts. We have to actively surrender, or we have to surrender to God's work in our sanctification, which he always will do, but then we also have to actively work toward it. That is, obey him in the tools that he's given us through Scripture for sanctification. So now that we've covered God's role in sanctification, number two, what is our role? What's our part in sanctification? What's the role that we play? Well, the role that we play has primarily two parts, okay? Primarily two parts. One is a passive role. It's a passive role in which we are depending upon God, for all the reasons we just mentioned, to sanctify us. The second is an active role in which we, you and I, intentionally strive to obey God, not by our strength, but in his strength. Nonetheless, we have to strive to do it. We strive to obey God in taking steps that will increase and grow our sanctification progressively because of the process of the rest. So the passive role that we play in sanctification is seen in texts that encourage us to do things like submit to God, or to trust God, or to pray to God, or to ask God that he sanctify us. Romans 6:13, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but rather present or yield yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. That word yield right there, that's an active thing. That's a decision. That's a choice we have to make. Okay? See how it says, do not present your members? That means we can present our members to sin. But he's saying, do not. Do not. So again, there's this passive and this active role that we play. I'll just give you a couple of quick scriptures. Romans 6:19, I won't put it up on the board, but you can take some notes. Romans 6:19, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now you should present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Paul acknowledges that we are dependent on the Holy Spirit's work to grow in sanctification. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The problem is that today, unfortunately, this whole passive role in sanctification, this idea of yielding to God and trusting Him to work in us, to will and to work for His good pleasure, is sometimes so strongly emphasized that it's the only thing that people are ever told about the process of sanctification. I've just got to let go of that God. Well, yes, but there's more to it. This is a synergistic process. And this is a tragic distortion of the doctrine of sanctification because it only speaks of one half of the equation. And by itself will lead Christians to become lazy and to neglect the active role that Scripture commands you and I to play in our own sanctification. And that active role, which we play together with God, is indicated by many passages. We see it all throughout Scripture. I'll just give you a few. Talking about our active role. Romans 8:12. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So Paul is here acknowledging that it is by the Spirit that we are able to do this. But he also says, we must do it. Isn't that interesting? It's the Spirit that does it, but we've got to cooperate. Interesting in this passage here, as we read the Romans 8:12-14, you notice, because there's some confusion, you notice that it is not the Spirit who is being commanded to put to death the deeds of the flesh. You notice that. It's not the Spirit who is being commanded to do that. It's us. We are directly being commanded to put to death the deeds of the flesh. Each individual Christian has an obligation to do that. We have to make the decision. Philippians 2:12, I'll give you another passage here. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Here's what this passage does not mean. It does not mean that you can work for your salvation. It doesn't mean that at all. You're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, and the gift of God. What it means is that we are working out, that is in practical daily life, what God has already worked in. Okay? We are working out what God has already worked in. Paul encourages the Philippians to obey more and more. More and more. He says that obedience is the way in which we work out our salvation, meaning that it's outwardly shown. The fact that we're already saved by God's grace is outwardly evident. It bears fruit by the way that we live our lives. The Philippians are to work at this growth of sanctification, and to do it, you know, solemnly and with reverence, with fear and trembling, because they are doing it in the presence of God Himself, and they are responsible to do it. It's incumbent upon them that they grow. It's a serious task. But the reason that they can expect positive results from their efforts is because it is God who is at work in them. He is the power behind it. He's the dynamo behind it. And so their efforts are empowered by God and rewarded by God. So there are many components, many parts to this active role that believers play, that you and I have in our sanctification. As we've noticed in some of the passages we've just read, we are to strive, it says, for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. We are to abstain from immorality. We are to obey the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. So it's so fascinating how he says, this is the will of God for you. What's God's will for you? It's your sanctification. Who's going to empower your sanctification? God will. What do you have to do? Well, several things. In this case, abstain. Sometimes strive. Sometimes obey. Sometimes shun things. Sometimes turn away from things. 1 John 3:3, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Do not have partnership with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? So we can go on and on. There's so many passages that make clear reference to our part in our own sanctification. So suffice it to say, we have a role, and a very serious role to play, a multifaceted role to play. 2 Peter 1:5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and your virtue with knowledge. You see how we're supposed to make, this is interesting, every effort. I hope you're getting the connotations of that. Strive, hope, try, shun, flee, strive, make every effort. You get the feeling this is a job. You get the feeling this doesn't sound easy. This surely doesn't sound passive, that's for sure. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Put it up for you. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Isn't that interesting? Let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body, make holiness perfect in the fear of God. Sounds like sanctification, doesn't it? See, many aspects of these passages in the New Testament encourage us to pay detailed attention to the various aspects of our lives, of our holiness, our godliness. I can give you a number of others. I won't. If you want more to look up, come to me. I'll help you with that. But all of this means that it is critical that we continue to grow both in our passive trust, relying on God, power is His, and in our active striving for holiness and for obedience. And if we neglect the passive role of trusting God and yielding to Him, we become proud and we become overly confident in ourselves, resulting in failure. So we have to have both. If we neglect active striving to obey God, we become passive and lazy and won't progress. In either case, our sanctification will be stunted somehow. So, enough of that. We've seen God's role, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We touched on at least our role in sanctification, our personal individual role. Lastly, we'll end on this today. How about the church's role? The church in our sanctification. Well, sanctification is usually spoken of in Scripture as a corporate process in the New Testament. It's something that takes place in the context of our one another, that is, in the context of our relationship with one another. We mentioned last week, we're not supposed to walk this alone. We're not just supposed to have the me and God on the mountain kind of religion. We're supposed to have a relationship with Him and a relationship with one another. So it's something that takes place in the context of our relationship with other believers. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says this, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Sounds like sanctification. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but rather encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. 1 Peter 2:5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. You see the working together there? 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's a togetherness thing. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another, and what? Build one another up, just as you are doing. You notice a couple things. One, one another. Two, this is not a one-time process. He says you're already doing it, and you need to keep doing it. That's sanctification. And interestingly enough, this isn't just, by the way, limited to our church family, but to also our immediate family that live with us. And for those of us who are married, especially our spouses. You know, Scripture says that he who finds a wife finds a good wife, and that our spouses are a blessing to us. Personally, I can think of no other human being that has brought me closer to God than my wife. And the same should be true for every person. And for those of you who might be struggling, I get it. I understand. There are many of us who struggle in our relationships. In fact, there are many of us who have great relationships with our spouses who go through seasons of true struggle. And if that's you and you're struggling in a season with your spouse, we will be exploring in future messages how to make your relationship with your spouse a source of great, great personal sanctification. I don't care who you're married to. Okay, we'll get into that more as our messages go on. Ephesians 4, 2 through 3, with all humility and gentleness and your patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Did you notice how it says, bearing with one another in love? You know why it says bearing, right? Because we have to, that implies that we have to bear with one another. It means it implies difficulty. It implies that there's something there to put up with, to bear with, right? This is not like an easy thing. This is with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So not only is our encouragement and love and support and prayers for one another something that greatly bolsters our sanctification, but it's even, catch it, in God's wisdom, it's even the difficulties that we deal with one another, the disagreements, the having to bear with one another, that actually makes us stronger. Isn't that interesting? When that happens, the body of Christ functions as a unified whole, and each part working properly so that the corporate sanctification occurs as it, quote, makes bodily growth and uphold itself in love, build itself up in love. Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow. So that it builds itself up in love. Now, I want you to notice that when it says makes the body grow, it's not referring to just numerical growth. It's referring to spiritual growth. That is our topic, sanctification. Because it says it builds itself up in love. We also see that in 1 Corinthians 12:12-16. One more passage I'll give you here. Galatians 6. 1-2. Galatians 6, 1-2 says this. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, keeping watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? It takes community. It takes you and I. It takes faith, church. It takes our relationships with one another for us to grow. So, let me encourage you to encourage one another, to grow, to build one another up, to bear with one another, to have this unity and this love and this encouragement as we spur one another on to to love and good deeds as we press on the high call of Christ to be more like him. I hope some of this is helping, and I hope that as we continue to dive into the sanctification series and grow in a little bit more understanding of what Scripture has to say, but I hope you're encouraged by this. I hope it's giving you some desire to really pursue this, not only in your life, but also to help those around you. So what is the synergism of sanctification? If we could sum it up in one sentence, what is the synergism of sanctification? It is the process of purification in which God does the work and we cooperate with him and with one another in becoming increasingly controlled and transformed by the Holy Spirit as we are conformed to the image of Christ. What a wonderful. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your word. So many great things. Oh, we could just plumb the depths of your word forever, Lord. So much encouragement from you. So much teaching. So much clarity that you bring, Lord. We thank you for that. Lord, what a blessing this is. And Lord, what a blessing it is that, Lord, you've not only called us to sanctification, but you equip us with all the tools. And you, ultimately, are the power behind our sanctification. Lord, it's wonderful because, Lord, in this, we are becoming more and more like you. We are becoming more and more free from the sin and the ugliness in our lives, Lord, and more set free to be like you and follow you, Lord, and experience the freedom that only you provide. Father, thank you for the blessing of sanctification. Help us to cooperate with you. Help us to submit to one another and love one another as we both actively and passively, intentionally, work to become more and more like Christ, relying on you to do the work in us. We love you, Lord.